You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I'm Elena, and I was just reading this morning about a new report from the United Nations Special Rapporteur, Leilani Faha, which stated that the housing crisis is a human rights crisis in New Zealand. So during a visit to New Zealand in 2020, she investigated our housing, and the findings of her visit were finally collated in a report that was tabled last night at the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva. This report blames a few different things as main causes of the crisis. I spoke to Aaron Hendry, who is LifeWise's youth housing team leader. LifeWise is an Auckland-based community social development organisation that was part of Faha's consultation process during the research for the report. You're with LifeWise. What does LifeWise do?
We support, LifeWise is working in a lot of different spaces, specifically around supporting whānau who are experiencing homelessness. So we work with both the student-stretched whānau in the inner city, supporting them through Housing First to get housed and provide the wraparound support they need to be housed. And then specifically myself, I work in the Youth Housing Service, where we support the rangatahi who are experiencing homelessness into housing. We're also part of Manaki Rangatahi, which is a collective that's working to end youth homelessness in Aotearoa.
And the first thing that you see on your website is that housing should be a basic human right. So it seems that this report is strongly aligned with your values. Were you involved in it at all?
Yeah, so when Leilani Faha came to New Zealand, I think last year, beginning of the year, we were a part of being consulted around the housing crisis and the human rights crisis that our whānau and rangatahi are experiencing, and we gave some feedback into the report through that.
So this report, to me, seems quite comparable to when climate change was declared an emergency in New Zealand. We all knew that climate change was an emergency, but this was an actual official title for it. This report, it gives me a little bit of the same vibe, as in it's an official title to something that most of us already know is a crisis. What is the importance and effect of formally recognising the housing crisis as a human rights crisis? Could it be that this just ends up a placeholder for more concrete action, or do you think this might actually galvanise change?
I mean, it needs to. If we want to see transformation in our country, if we want to end homelessness in Aotearoa, then we need to shift this conversation into what is a basic human right. You know, what is it that we actually expect that every New Zealander should be able to have? And housing is obviously critical. If we don't have housing, then a lot of other things fall from that in terms of our well-being, our health. You know, for people to thrive, you need to be housed and you need to have support to be housed. And so without housing being sort of recognised as a basic human right, then there is a huge group of people that are suffering and whose lives are being negatively impacted because they don't have that right. So this report, if we take it seriously, it's got an opportunity to be really grounded in every policy that we create and every sort of lens we put on housing. At the moment, there's a conversation in housing that really just focuses on sort of the middle class, you know, looking at, hey, who can maybe own a home? But there's a whole group of people that don't even have the basic human right of renting a home, you know, that are living on our streets right now, that are couch surfing, that are sleeping in cars. We need to shift the conversation to this rights-based approach to ensure that everyone has adequate housing and everyone has adequate, safe, stable and supported housing as well. It'll have a huge impact on our whānau, on our rangatahi, on our young people, if we can embed this into everything we do.
Changing the massive disparity between the two polar opposites first before just focusing on middle class issues with housing.
Yeah, and I guess it all gets rolled into one, but unfortunately at the moment a lot of focus is being put onto that middle class around owning a home, while there's a huge group of people that are being left behind in the housing conversation. So when we talk about a housing crisis, we often talk about first home buyers.
There are a lot of shades of crisis within this one housing crisis.
Yeah. And so whereas one person can't afford to own a home, another person can't even rent a home because of who they are and their background and the perception that comes with them. So, you know, and in terms of rangatahi, that is something, right? So a lot of our young people, there is no right to housing for our young people. If they're experiencing homelessness and they want to try to find a house and need to be able to get housed, there's huge barriers in terms of getting them housing, and they don't have a right to be housed at all and often turned away from landlords, property viewings, anything, right? So until we ingrain the basic assumption that everyone deserves a home, everyone has the right to a home, we're still going to be dealing with these issues.
One last question. Your website says that you follow the ideology of housing first. The rapporteur mentioned that Canada recently recognised the right to adequate housing and adopted a human rights approach within its national housing policy. I was wondering, in your opinion, what would adopting a human rights approach in regard to housing actually look like in New Zealand? How would it differ from our current approach?
Yeah, I guess a human rights approach and a housing first approach says that everyone has the basic right to be housed and to be housed in safe and supported accommodation and in housing that suits their needs and fits with where they are at, right? So they have some choice in that. It means that, hey, if you're suffering from addiction or, you know, your mental health isn't that well, or you're struggling, you know, you're in poverty and all of that sort of stuff, you still have the right to be housed and you shouldn't be excluded from housing based on what might be going on in your life. There has been an approach in the past, and we're definitely moving away from that, but it's still not being solidified. Whereas, you know, if you are suffering from addiction or you're mentally unwell or, you know, you've got these challenges, that sometimes you get excluded from housing. So a human rights approach, a housing first approach would say, actually, everyone needs to be housed first. You know, that's just the basic. And then we provide the supports that you need to be able to sustain that housing and to be looked after and to recover and to heal if that is what is needed. So embedding that into every policy would mean that we can't discriminate against someone because of their age. You know, you're too young, so we can't house you. We can't discriminate against someone because they're unwell. It would mean that our policy would have to change, and legislation maybe in some places would have to change to ensure that the right to housing was being upheld.
Is there anything else that you wanted to add in regard to the report?
I guess, you know, just something we've been advocating as part of LifeWise and also as part of Manaka Rangatahi in regards to youth homelessness and housing is that there needs to be a comprehensive strategy that really looks at where these things are falling down, where are these rights not being upheld, and then implementing actions to ensure that. You know, so for example, you know, young people that are coming through different care systems, whether that's, you know, justice system or, you know, whatever it is, often they don't have housing and there's no housing insured for them when they come out of these systems. They're young, they don't have the ability to be able to manage that themselves. And there's a responsibility, I think, from the government and from community to provide that housing. So, you know, we really continue to call for a strategy to be put in place to end homelessness in Aotearoa and end youth homelessness specifically, and ensure that there is housing for some of our most vulnerable being put in place, and we take responsibility for that.
Cool. Thank you so much, Aaron.
No worries.
So, yep, as you just heard, that was Aaron Hendry from LifeWise. And next up, we've got a live interview with Dr. Michael Rehm. How are you doing today, Michael?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Sweet. You want to take it away, Arlena?
Cool. Hi, Michael. So you're a lecturer in property here at the University of Auckland, and one of your interests is housing affordability. Have you read this new report from the UN, and do you have any immediate thoughts on it?
I haven't read the report, unfortunately. I have heard the rapporteur speak before when she was here in February of last year.
Mm. Well, the main takeaway from it seems to be that the housing crisis in New Zealand has now officially kind of been termed as a human rights crisis, which reminds me a lot of when climate change was declared an emergency in New Zealand. It was already pretty evident that climate change is an emergency, but this declaration represented the first time it was officially termed as such. Similarly, this report gives an official status to housing, which we already know is quite the human rights crisis. I was just wondering what you might think about the importance and effect of formally recognising the housing crisis as such. Could this just be a placeholder for more concrete action, or do you think this could actually spur action from the government and other interest groups?
Well, you would hope that it would. I think the government and the major players trying to solve our housing crisis are in a bit of a pickle. But I think stating what I think a lot of people would agree that, you know, housing is also a human rights issue. And if there's a housing crisis, then there is a human rights crisis. I think that provides an opportunity for the government to maybe take a step back and consider what do we want out of housing? What does housing mean to us here in New Zealand? Is housing shelter and a place to raise your family, or is it an investment and a way to build wealth? And this allows a bit of an opportunity to kind of determine what is important to us. And once we determine that, then we could start taking steps to make that happen.
I think it definitely sets the tone. And as Aaron was saying before in the interview that I did with him, a lot of the conversation with housing right now is focused around the middle class and first home buyers and that kind of thing. But the conversation needs to be including this whole spectrum of people. I think calling it a human rights crisis is a good first step. The Human Rights Commission said that they were set to release framework guidelines on the right to a decent home in New Zealand, and these guidelines aimed to be grounded in Titidity. I was wondering how might, if you have an opinion on this, the right to a decent home be meaningfully grounded in Titidity, and have there been attempts to create housing policy that engages with this previously?
Well, I mean, if you think of, you mentioned different spectrums, and you're right, a lot of the focus on policy is kind of the middle, median income folks, maybe a little bit higher than median income. And usually the people in the lower spectrum are sometimes written off as renters for life, and maybe they'll have to be in subsidized housing, community housing providers and the like. But, you mentioned the treaty, and you think of what was one of the big issues in the treaty and what are things that we're still grappling with, and that's disenfranchisement of lands and the indigenous people and how they've gotten shafted, really, for a long time. And maybe looking at this as a human rights issue is going to widen the spectrum of those who need to have a surety of access to good housing and affordable housing. That's a word that isn't used enough. We have to identify what it is to be affordable, affordable house prices, but also affordable rents. And again, once we start understanding these fundamentals, we could then have aspirations and goals and try to achieve them. But definitely people on the lower spectrum, Maori, people from Pacific Islands, those elements of society definitely need to be catered to. We cannot forget about them.
Thank you. One last question, which has been covered a little bit, but maybe you can expand. So Canada has recently adopted a human rights approach within its national housing policy, and the rapporteur mentioned that as a case study that New Zealand could follow. What could adopting a human rights approach look like in New Zealand in regard to housing? How might that be different from our current response at the moment?
Well, I think the current attitude for a lot of things, not just housing, is it comes back from neoliberalism. Market knows best, and the market is really good about making profit for those players of the market. They're not very good about getting good outcomes for society. And what this might help, again, calling it a human rights issue, might encourage the government to be a more active player and intervene, as it used to do before we went down the track of neoliberalism, particularly in the 80s and into the 90s, and it got us into this mess, to be honest. So hopefully this spurs the government to become more of an active player and put in policies that take a little bit of the keys out of the hands of the market and get good social outcomes for us in New Zealand.
Well, I certainly hope it'll be a step in the right direction. Thanks so much for talking to us, Michael. Did you have any last comments?
No, I think it's all positive. I do see that the government has made some efforts in the rental sector, things like the reforms of the Residential Tenancies Act, healthy home standards. So they're doing things in the right space. They are starting to intervene. But I think Kiwis, we just have to be bold. I think we could be aspirational. We could actually set a goal for ourselves to have one of the highest home ownership rates in the OECD. And I think we could achieve it. But we have to be bold if we're going to do something like that.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.